Welcome to the latest episode of the Fuck Off Everton podcast with me, Nathan O'Hagan.
And me, Bill Cummings.
First of all, we'll briefly mention the business bro frat boys of 777. We're, as things currently stand, we're, what is it, the 27th of May, so we're 4 days away from hopefully the official... attempt. They've got the deal in place with Mashiri until the 31st. And then officially you can start talking to other people. But I think we can all safely say, as we've been saying for months, that deal is not going to happen. And it's a bullet dodged, well and truly.
Well, yeah, and since our last podcast, they've basically fallen apart, haven't they? You know, they're in administration in all sorts of countries and all sorts of clubs. They various members of the board are resigning. I don't know. It's a, the whole thing's just... They're falling apart. It wouldn't surprise me if they just go bankrupt, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I think that's a genuine risk. I think they need to sell a lot of the, you know, the footballing assets. They're trying to get rid of Standard Liège. They're looking to get rid of... well, they've had Vasco da Gama taken off them, effectively, by the Brazilian court, haven't they?
It always felt like a sort of gamble, didn't it? What did it say in one of the papers, that like a Ponzi scheme? It always felt like that they wanted to Everton basically to keep their whole business going.
Yeah, but they've overstretched themselves on it.
They have.
And led to the collapse of pretty much everything else, certainly the footballing sort of side of the business. And tangentially to that, you know, you've got the airline and other aspects, the reinsurance wing and things like that. It's all falling apart. And I think that the attempts to take over Everton, you know, could have been what actually does for them in a wider sense. But yeah, I mean, fuck them, you know, who cares what happens to them? Absolute clowns, should never have been allowed to get as it did.
Mashiri baffled, well, he doesn't baffle me. I just think he's quite a delusional man, to be honest.
Yeah, he's lunatic, isn't he?
He is a bit. I mean, why would you carry on with that unless you're absolutely desperate, you know?
Yeah.
You have to wonder if his own funds are being cut off, you know?
Yeah, well, I think he's not cash rich, is he? You know, he's probably like one of those asset rich, but not cash rich. So he needed that money up front, you know, just to keep going in the short term. That's why he agreed to extend it until the 31st, because he wanted to get that last tranche of payments, that last 8 million.
Yeah.
And extending the deal, you know, it was dependent on that. So he sort of had to, but... clearly, even he now accepts that it's not going to happen and that we can finally start talking to other people officially. I mean, there is interest, obviously, we know that. I mean, the Texter, is it the guy who owns Palace? I don't think that's going to happen because of his situation with Palace, but, you know, it's a possibility. And it just shows that, obviously, there is going to be some interest. And, you know, there's certainly an appeal to owning Everton. It's a Premier League club, new stadium on the horizon. Clearly, you know, once you can navigate the tricky finances, there's a lot to interest people there, isn't there, still?
Oh, definitely. And you just think to yourself, well, there's not many actual clubs up for sale in the Premier League. I mean, I know there's the debt issue, but if you get it right, you can really, you know... expand Everton, and you know, we can take off as a club, you know, especially if we get into that stadium.
There's massive potential there still.
There is. I mean,
the state we're in, there's huge potential, untapped.
Yeah, because the club has never even exploited its own fan base, let alone reached out around the world. You know, I mean, we've always had a good fan base in America and stuff like that. And they've never really, apart from the odd friendly out there, they've never really exploited it. You know, there's a lot of things, and even just simple as, I mean, it's got a little bit better, but like communicating with fans, making fans feel like they're part of the club. We've always felt like, because of the way Bill Kenroy, you know, sort of treated the fans in terms of, not always, but like in his latter years, the way he sort of, it was almost like he was afraid of the fans rather than using the fans.
Yeah.
Who are one of the best things about the club, the spirit of the club. You know, harnessing that, and you know, you could imagine if you could harness that, you know, look at what other clubs have done by harnessing it. They're not my favourite club, but Newcastle, they have harnessed their fan base, you know.
Yeah.
It's like once you believe in something, once you feel like you're part of something, then it really helps a club, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something we haven't had, really. We've always felt like we're sort of we're doing our own thing almost, like, despite the
club. Yeah, entirely separate entities almost, rather than part of a whole.
And it's crazy because that is like the most powerful thing we've got is like the fan base. I mean, really, especially the last, I mean, I wouldn't say last, you know, this gone season, but the last two seasons, I'd say the fans were like major reason for dragging the club to survival, with a few, you know, players like,
yeah, absolutely,
Pickford and Richarlison, you know,
yeah,
etc. We need somebody who just knows what they're doing. You could, and also it's like, I don't know about you, I'm just sick of hearing all this stuff about 777, because really, ultimately, like you said, it's not our fault, it's not our problem, you know. It's always in our kind of like news, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
I'll be so glad when we never have to mention
a
fucking name ever again. Jock Lander, and see another frat boy Yank dickhead with his baseball cap and suit combo stinking up the fucking place. I just can't wait until it's all fucking dead and buried. Whoever comes in, I just can't wait for this chapter with them, this absolute farce, to be drawn to a final fucking conclusion.
I think
we can move on from them.
Alternatives have been worked on, because I heard that, is it Andy Bell?
Yeah, from MSP.
And the other one have been involved in, George Downing, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
The other one. Yeah, been involved in trying to find an alternative in the background, do you know what I mean, while all this has been going on. Because apparently, Andy Burnham also mentioned there was, you know, they've been looking at other alternatives. But the issue is, it's just like, Mashiri clearly is desperate, because basically he's ruined any chance that we've got of like a reasonable summer, hasn't he? You know, just but I suppose in his mind he didn't have the funds, so it was basically just a stopgap.
Yeah,
it's ended up like that anyway. Obviously, at some point he did think they were going to take over, but the months have gone on, it's become plainly obvious that they're never going to take over. They didn't have the money, and it never seemed like they had the money anyway.
Never felt like they were capable of using it.
Maybe, I mean, I don't want to say he's that clever that he knew that, but I don't know. It's just a weird one. Surely, he's a funny fella. I mean, he just really is. I feel like Mashiri needs to go as well, you know. We need to get rid of Mashiri as well. Yeah. I just think he doesn't know what he's doing. We just need rid of him. He was never the right person.
I think whoever comes in is going to sort of take control away from him. He may remain as some kind of shareholder, but probably not a majority one, and I think he won't be responsible for the actual running of the place. But, I mean, you know, let's not dwell too much on that side of things.
I suppose during the first it'll become more maybe clear that some, you know, who's interested, because that'll be the end of the exclusivity agreement, won't it?
We know that it's not going to make a massive difference in terms of actually spend in the summer. You know, I think the situation we are in now will continue. Hopefully there'll be like a long-term plan, but we know that realistically we're going to have to sell at least a couple of our big assets. So, you know, we'll move on to that now, who we think is most likely to go and how we feel about it. As we were just saying before we started recording, the almost definite one, I mean, he's probably like halfway out the door already, will be Onana.
Yeah,
I think that's a formality, isn't it? It's just a case of who he goes to, you know, how much we can get for him. But I think everyone accepts that he's a good player, you know. Don't not saying I want him gone, but of the ones we've got who we can get some money for, he's obviously the one that you'd think, yeah, we'll accept him going. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think he was always bought to develop and sell anyway, wasn't he, within 2 years, I think, I feel like. I think it's best for all parties. And if we can get, you know, I'm being optimistic here, 50 to 60, I don't know.
I'd say 50 is probably,
yeah,
you know,
maybe some add-ons or something. But yeah, if we can get that, that'll probably help with our PSR, because I read that we were sort of between 20 and 30, something over that kind of thing. So if we can get that boxed off, we don't have to worry about that next season. That'll be great, for one.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about points deductions from that aspect anyway. You know, there may be other aspects. But yeah, I think he was always going to go, and I think most people accepted. And I feel like, you know, watching him for Belgium, I feel like in a team where it's set up for him and it's more passing style of football,
much more possession based.
Yeah, he'll look really good because with pace around him, he looked really good for Belgium because he just, all he does, he sits in the pivot and he distributes it on the counter-attack, you know what I mean? So he's, he look, I feel like he'll go on to be a good player, you know, elsewhere. He'll be. And he is a good player, I just don't think he really, I think he's had his good games and he's had his, you know, he's a young guy and I think there has been a lot of pressure on him because you know, you've bought with a reasonable price tag. He looks how he looks. You know, physically he's dominant. He looks really powerful. So people expect him to be something that I don't think he is really. I think he's just a really quality number six. Yeah. That's what he is.
He's only number, is he 22 or something now? He's still
very young.
Yeah. He will develop
decently for us overall, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I think there's been this criticism of him because people expect more, but it's like, well, what more do you expect, really? He's a six. He's not going to, like, go marauding forward because he's not that kind of player, really. He's not Yaya Touré. He may look a bit like, you know, physically, stature-wise, but he's not. He's not that kind of player. But I understand it sometimes where you feel like you wish he'd grab a game by the scruff of the neck and, you know, show why he's a, you know, world class, but I think ultimately
he didn't do that often enough. But
no, but then he's young.
He will do.
He will. He will. He'll end up in Champions League football, and he'll be, you know.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's a success story for us because we need to be doing that, bringing players in, showing them that we can develop them, and then selling them on. I mean, unfortunately, that is the model, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. The best, most obvious example of that in terms of someone we buy young and cheap and then develop and potentially sell for a massive profit. Mm. The one that we're obviously a bit more conflicted about is Branthwaite, the season he's had.
Yeah.
You know, we do not want to see him go, do we? Because he's just been fantastic and he's obviously only going to get better as well. But if the right bid comes in, we are probably still in a position where we will have to. I think we're not going to be looking to get rid, but if someone comes in with a, you know, sort of 60 million plus offer, you know, plus add-ons and all the rest of it, I think we probably won't be able to turn it down, which is, it's gutting, isn't it, because he's so good and he really suits Everton, seems to really enjoy it at Everton, and he's not looking to leave apparently, you know, he's happy to stay, but obviously that may be out of his hands if we're getting big offers and accepting big offers from other clubs.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, he's been our player of the season, and he, especially, you know, he's been excellent, really, when you think about the concerns there were about, you know, starting with somebody so young, and people, you know, even Dyche himself started with Keane at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, first
game. And then he came in, and he was just, I don't know, for a player who, you know, hadn't had much Premier League experience before that, obviously at that year in PSV, really, really finished him off as a, you know, as a quality player. And you could count the mistakes on one hand. I mean, and for a player, his first, like, full season in the Premier League, that is amazing. It's incredible. He's been a threat in the other box as well, you know, as we saw in the derby, you know. So, yeah, we wouldn't like to lose him, but unfortunately, like, especially in our position, everyone's got a price, haven't they? I mean, what would be good if Onana went and then we're not under that huge, huge pressure to sell him? I'd much rather keep him, but unfortunately, like you said, I think there are going to be big bids for him. If we get in that sort of 70 to 80 region, I think we will go, unfortunately. That's just the state of the club and the...
Just the reality, isn't it?
And that is the reality of how much he's worth. I mean, as great a season he's had, it's one season, isn't it? You know, and it is, he has got a lot of potential. I think he looks even better than Stones did in his sort of at that time in his career. You know what I mean? Stones always got a rick in him.
He ticks every box at the moment, doesn't he? Because he's young, English, left footed, 6 foot plus centre back.
Arm on the ball.
And can tackle and, you know, is physical. He can do everything. He's the complete.
Great in the air.
He's the complete modern centre back, isn't he? Yes. And he's left footed.
I mean, there's been rumours of United, but I think United are going to have to put down a serious bid if they want him, because I think there's going to be, I think City, I think Chelsea, I think even, you know, teams like Real Madrid could even be sniffing. Yeah. You know? I think everyone will be involved. So in a way, I hope if he does go, I hope there's some kind of bidding war for him. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, you know, you would like to keep him for a year, but... You know, you can't guarantee. It's just in our situation, isn't it? Unfortunately. how do we know how much? It's a bit like the Gordon thing. So we sold him, but where did that money go? It just went to like sort of keeping the club going, basically. Yeah. It's going to come in investment wise and stuff. There is a world where potential, you know, new owners come in, and that gives us a bit of stability later on in the window.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be, like you said, for this window, I don't think it's going to be enough to stop any big sales like that, unfortunately. And I think pretty much Branthwaite going, that'll be our transfer. That'll be our transfer kitty.
Yeah.
I mean, or even just a proportion of that, you know. Unfortunately.
Yeah,
kind of
pull some, really.
You know, even if it's like 30 million, you know, at least with the 30 million, you can put down payments on a few, you know, two or three players. That's just the way it is, unfortunately, these days. And that is, you know, all relates back to how badly we've been mismanaged.
Yeah. Complete shambles we've been. Another one that's been linked with a move is contract situation, sort of a little bit uncertain, is Calvert-Lewin as well, which I think is another one that, you know, you ideally you don't want to be losing your main striker because they're so hard to replace, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd like to give him a new contract and hope he stays. And I think his preference is to stay, apparently. But on the other hand, if he's not going to sign it, then if we get offered around the 20, 25 million that has been spoken about, then he may go as well.
Yeah.
Which is a difficult one because I would rather keep him again. I think there's a point where you could sell all of these players and we're basically removing a spine, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a danger. That's what I would say.
I think the thing with a striker as well, I mean, as brilliant as Branthwaite is, I do think it's easier to replace a centre-back than it is to replace a centre-forward. As much as Dom's had his injury problems and he had a dip in form this year, seems to be over his injury problems. He did have a dip in form, but, you know, came back and showed what he's capable of. I think it would be really, really hard to replace that with the kind of money that we'll have to spend, that we'll get for him. You know, I don't think we'd even get 20 million in the last year of his contract and his recent injury record. I think we'd be lucky to get 20 million, and that doesn't go very far in terms of strikers. So I think
he's that's below his value, isn't it? That's way below his value. I'd say his value is more like 40, really, but like if he was on a long term contract. But, I think he ended the season so well that I would really like to keep him, to be honest, because I feel like if he does go, we're not going to get anywhere near that quality in at all. I don't see anyone who's going to, like you said, we're not going to have the funds to replace him with anybody better. And are we going to find anyone who's sort of put his heart and soul into Everton as much as Calvert-Lewin has? I just feel like it would be a big thing to sell him, really. But there has been talk of Newcastle are interested in this, that and the other. So, unfortunately, you know, it's a bit like the Iwobi situation last summer, isn't it? It's like, ultimately, I don't know if the contract's actually been offered, but once the contract is offered and he doesn't sign it and we get a bid, unfortunately, he might go as well.
Yeah. I would probably rather, as much as you don't want to lose players for nothing, and you think when the last year of the contract, if they're not going to sign, you need to sell. I'd say he's probably the exception to that rule for me. I would rather keep him and say, okay, we'll lose you for nothing potentially.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just in the short term, we need him. You know, we really do need a focal point, and we need a striker that we can rely on. So, and we won't get an adequate replacement for what we'd bring in for him. So I would probably take the loss on him in the summer.
Yeah, because
assuming he doesn't want to sign, there's nothing to say he doesn't. You know, this is just a speculation. But if he decided not to sign a contract, I would still keep him for this season, I think.
Yeah, because we've got like other areas of the squad that we need strengthening as well, that we don't really want to be worrying about the forwards as well. Because I feel like Dyche has mentioned that Chimiti could do with a loan, and I think I think that really would benefit him because he's shown promise. And I think if he got a run somewhere, I think it would, again, like the Branthwaite thing, it would really, you know, hone his skills and get him prepared for even like a championship loan or something like that. Prepared for Premier League, you know, and Beto, sure he's out. I like him. Like we discussed it. I like him as a fella and I like the effort he puts in, but he was never worth what we paid for him. I think that was just because It was like, you know, it wasn't much up front, was it? It was that kind of
thing.
There
was no down payment, yeah.
So that's why it was 20 or 25, 28, 20. I don't know what it was. Yeah. Whatever it was. I don't think he's a bad player. I just think he's very raw and he doesn't really, he hasn't got those attributes in terms of like holding the ball up yet. I think if Dyche works on him, he could still be a reasonable player, but.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we wanted him.
He's shown flashes.
Yeah, we needed a striker.
I do think he can score goals. I just think, will he? Say you put him up front, like for not the whole of the season, but a lot of the season, you give him like 20 games starting, I think he would score goals, but would he have the all round game? No chance.
Overall contribution, he can't hold the ball up. And
no, he's more of a. It's strange because I thought he was going to be more of like a target man as well, you know? The size of him.
Mm.
It's more of a run onto it, isn't he, really? But he can, he can develop a bit. And I do think he did, when he had the runner games, he looked a bit better, if that makes sense, rather than just like his bit parts or the cameos and stuff. I don't think he's the kind of player who just come off the bench and kind of like just get straight into the game. I think he's the kind of player who like needs a sort of runner games, if that makes sense.
I don't know, when he did have a short run, I wasn't any more
impressed.
He seems more just, you know, someone to throw in and cause chaos,
yeah, possibly,
rather than anything else and everything. But
he's the Niasse 2.0, you know, like slightly better than Niasse, maybe. I don't know, we'll see. I think I know people who want to sell him straight away. I just don't think that I don't see the point because we won't get anywhere near what we pay for him, so. Unless it's like a good bid, I can't see it. I think really we have to persevere with him, and I think in the second season just hope that he's like adapted a bit more to Premier League football. He could be a even when he signed, he actually said, I'm not really like a, you know, prolific goal scorer, so you know, he knows he's more like a 1 in 3 kind of person, you know. But if you have, I almost feel like we could do with, you know, apart from Dom, I feel like we could do with a third striker, to be honest, like another person who adds something different. Do you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But whether we've got that capability, maybe like I said to you, maybe somebody who can play on the wing and also play up front might be handy, you know, because that gives you the, you know, the flexibility.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I'd rather keep Dom, but, you know, if he doesn't sign a contract, it's like everybody else, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's got their price for us at the moment.
Yeah, unfortunately. And, you know, we'd be looking again, I think, at, you know, your Che Adams as the world.
Yeah.
Although there was rumour that he was talking to Wolves, so I don't know. But, with Southampton coming up as well, you know. Anyway, maybe we can get on to more of that.
Yeah. And what about, the squad players who... You know, maybe we could get like small payments for, you know, get them off the wage bill. I mean, I'm thinking of the likes of, say, Virginia, I think, is one that might. He's 24, 25. You know, he's done well when he's played for us, but I think now he probably wants to be number one somewhere, doesn't he? I don't think he wants to be on the bench at 24. You know,
we probably get sort of on a free or like a low fee, you know, to sit on the bench. He might go to, you know, back to Portugal. He might, you know, Italy, you know. I think somebody would pay, I don't know, 3 or 4 million for him, possibly, if you're being optimistic.
Yeah.
But he's quite young, isn't he?
Yeah, he's young, you know.
Maybe get 5 or 6 million for him, possibly, yeah.
A couple of years into his contract. So I think, you know, we get, like, a decent sum, and then, you know, you probably need to bring in two free goalkeepers, you know, the number three who's happy to be the Andy Lonergan type, and then just a reliable, like a Begovic type,
possibly,
who's happy to be number two and can come in and do a job and be reliable when you need them to, or if you need to rest Pickford for any reason, or he gets injured or whatever, just a reliable solid number two, and then the archetypal number three. But I think Virginia's, for his own good, he probably should go and be number one somewhere, and we'll get a bit of money up front for him.
It depends how bad our finances are. If our finances are that bad, then probably we just get like a backup and then use Krellin or Trier.
You don't want the youngsters on as number three. You want them out on loan playing. Otherwise,
yeah,
the development
probably
stops.
But I'm just saying, It depends on how our finances are, doesn't it?
No, I mean, the likes of, you know, the Andy Lonergan types, the Scott Carson type, you know, you paid them virtually nothing and they're happy to be number three. That, you don't want a kid as your number three.
You don't, ideally, but it's like everything, isn't it?
It's just not an option at all because the development stops.
Yeah, probably what will happen, as usually happens, because we wait until the end of the window, we'll bring in a couple of, like, you know, senior keepers. Although apparently Dyche does like a younger backup. Apparently that is his preference sometimes.
Mm.
So we might get a younger backup and a, you know, like an older third. Because if you remember at Burnley, he had Pope, didn't he? He had Heaton and Pope.
And Heaton and Pope, yeah.
And Pope took over because he was the younger. So maybe that's kind of the idea he likes, to have a player who's developing on the bench. You know, say Pickford, when he, if he ever does go, then you have, or if he ever's injured or whatever, you have somebody who's sort of like more competitive, if that makes sense. Maybe that's why we kept Virginia this year rather than, like, you know, looking for a experienced. But anyway, we'll see. We do need keepers, though. Yeah, we need a couple of keepers.
And across the defence, there's a few possible outgoings. I mean, what about Patterson? Do you think maybe time to cash in on him if anyone shows any interest?
It's a funny one because I said that to somebody last night on Twitter and they were like, no, no, he should be the starter and this, that, and the other. I don't think Dyche actually rates him, does he? Because he started everybody ahead of him. And yeah, his positional and defensive sense is just not there. I feel like if we got a reasonable bid for him, he would be one of the ones we'd sell.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need another fullback, whether that's somebody who plays left back or, you know, or right back, you know. Somebody who could play both would be
ideal. Ideally, that would be great, you know, a two
There's been a few links, hasn't there? I do think, I don't think Dyche rates him as a defensive fullback, and he's more of an attacking fullback, and also, he's like a work in progress who never progresses because of his injury, so.
So he's got a really bad injury record.
Yes, I could see us getting like between 5 and 7 million or something like that, because he is young and he's got...
Probably get like about 10 million back.
Yeah, somebody buy him. The thing is, I feel like in a team where he was allowed to push on, bomb on, he'd be all right if, like, he was sort of coached on defensive, you know, positioning and all of that. But it's a bit like the Anthony Robinson equation, isn't it? Remember him?
Yeah.
And he had to go down to the Championship and then he ended up at Fulham and he's got better and better over the seasons because he was a bit like that. He was like an attacking left back. But he wasn't going to get in over Baines. And then when we bought Dean, he was never going to get in. So we sold him. I always felt like we should have kept him, but you know.
I think he turned down a contract.
Oh, fair enough. Whatever the reason. But eventually he has turned into a solid Premier League player.
Yeah.
So it might be the same with Patterson. He needs to go like a Championship club, just play like
come back up,
season or two. Yeah, I mean, even that could be like the last resort thing for us as well. Is like, even if we can't sell him, maybe we loan him out, get his wages off the books, get a Championship loan for him, and then assess again, you know?
Maybe.
Possibly. I mean, I think he's got potential in terms of his height and his... The thing is, though, Dyche does not play that way where fullbacks bomb on. And I think that's what he wants to do, Patterson. I think that is his main attribute.
Well, I don't think he's even that good going forward. I mean, he put in one good cross for Dan Juma's goal at Chelsea, but his use of the ball is not very good when he gets into attack. His quality is not that good. I don't think he's very good going forward. He's not great defending.
He played like 13 games, hadn't he, for Rangers or something. Yeah. It was a real punt. It was another Bill Kenwright sort of punt, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, again, when he's had runs of games, like under Lampard, he did look a bit better. When they started under Lampard, he looked reasonable, you know. Put it this way, like, if we got a decent bid for him, I wouldn't like, you know, cry about it. I think I know he's young. I know people look at that, they're like, oh, he's young, we want him to start, be our future and all that. But if he's not good enough, he's not good enough. And I don't think he is good enough for this point in time. And like you said, his skill is attacking and he's not shown enough of that. So I think really the only way he would show more of that is if he was just relentlessly going up and down the wing. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, like certain teams have like fullbacks who just bomb on. They're literally like wingers. I think he would look better in a team like that, but we're just not that team. Dyche doesn't fancy him, and I don't think he's ready. So yeah, if we got a reasonable offer, I would sell as well.
Yeah, and someone else I think we'd all love to see out the door is Mason Holgate, who's been out on loan and had a fucking terrible season. So I don't know whether we'll be able to even shift him out. Maybe another loan until he runs his contract down or something. But
Leeds wanted him apparently, over Sheffield United when he went. So there may be interest from the Championship. But yeah, we're not going to get much for him. Again, he had a good season, didn't he? And then we put him on a massive contract. That was stupid.
Ridiculous contract, yeah.
It was another panic move. More panic moves. So many panic moves.
Just don't pay off.
Talk about a few more in a minute.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, you know, even just a loan, even just to get part of his wages.
I think I would rather him go and we bring in somebody potential, you know, especially if Branthwaite's going. We need a younger centre-half to develop again, you know?
Yeah.
There was talk of that lad at Middlesbrough, wasn't there? Is he Dutch? I forget his name.
Danish, I think, is he?
Danish.
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah, but yeah.
Van der Berger or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, he could play. He could play right back and centre-half. If he was as well as bringing in somebody a bit more experienced, if Branthwaite goes, we're going to need somebody to develop as well again.
Yeah.
Because you want both, you want twin track, don't you? You want somebody for the now and somebody for the future. You know, you do want that.
Yeah.
Holgate gone. What about Godfrey? I mean, Godfrey. Like 6 months ago, I probably said, "Oh, let's sell Godfrey." But now he did reasonably at right back, and
I think he's a decent squad player.
Yeah, he can cover across the back line, can't he? I think he's a useful player to have. But again, he's only got 1 year left, doesn't he? So we have to make a decision. We offer him a contract, maybe an extension of like a year or something, or a two. But then on the other hand, if somebody came in again with a good bid.
If we could get a decent sum, yeah, fair enough. But I think he's probably a handy one to keep in the squad.
I like him.
Across the back four. He's an athlete. He's got a bit of pace, which we lack.
What he doesn't have, though, for it to be a centre-half, which is a shame, because he could have, you know, possibly slotted in if Branthwaite leaves, is he not great in the air, is he?
No, surprisingly. Well, if we play three at the back.
Yeah. Although I don't think Dyche favours that, does he?
No, but we've done it a few times. You know, we did it in three or four games and use Godfrey as the right of the three. I think that might be his best position, but I think generally we play a back four. But you know that he's a player who can play right across a back four or a back three. So I think he would be one.
No, he's versatile and he's got that pace that we don't have in other players. And also he's cover, isn't he? And also he was out. He didn't play for a long time, did he? And then he came in and he did a job against Burnley. He was good. And then when he had a little run at right back, he was pretty good. Okay, he's got very little attacking output. I mean, he put in a few okay crosses. He needs to work on that if he's going to be a right back. He needs to work on his crossing.
Dyche wants to play him there, but you know, it's a case of needs must. And he did a job. You know, he did okay.
But if you have Mitrovic pushing on, I suppose, then Godfrey becomes, like, you know, more of a, like you said, centre-back in a way. But, you know, when we're pushing on that side. But, it's not ideal, but he is, I suppose, the good thing for him is he's been out in the cold and then he's come in and he's performed, which is not an easy thing to do. So I think he's got a good attitude as well. So I'd like to see him. He seems like a good lad, and I like to keep him. But then again, it's like anything, isn't it? You get a good bid for him, and what would you take for him?
I mean, if he's in the last year of his contract, I'd say we'd be lucky to get double figures. You know, probably like 7 or 8 million or something.
Yeah, it's not going to be as much, is it?
No, I think you're probably better off keeping him. Really,
contract, you could have maybe got like 10 million for him, possibly 10-12 million, something like that. But
Other centre back that we've got in the last year of his contract is the Enigma himself, Michael Keane.
Yeah, It's a tricky one, that, isn't it? Because like you said, in some ways, Dyche would probably like to keep him as like a backup rotation option. But on the other hand, apparently he said to the club that he would like first team football. So I could also see him being sold as well. So we'll see, though. A lot of it depends on who's coming in, doesn't it? So
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with him being sold if they got a reasonable bid. And
yeah, like an Ipswich, a Palace, you know, a Fulham, you know, somebody coming in for him.
Yeah.
Like, because he can be solid, but he has the ricks, doesn't he? He just has the brain farts.
Yeah, he just falls apart, you know. As we've said before, he's a confidence player, and that's not what you want at centre-back.
No, and he can look really good, though, can't he? He can look really dominant, and then he'll just have a rick. He's just one of them players.
It's just a bizarre phenomenon, isn't it? I mean, I think when he goes, whether it's this summer or next, we should do, like, a whole episode about him, because it's just been such a bizarre career that he's had with Everton.
Yeah.
And you pointed out a couple of pods back, I didn't realise he's been with us for like 8 years or something now.
Yeah.
Really long time.
He signed when Pickford signed, didn't he, that summer? Yeah.
But let's not dwell too much on him, but I do think he's...
what would you accept for him?
I'd say, you know, 3 or 4 million, I'd say.
Yeah, you're not going to get more than like 5 or 6, I don't know, 5 million, 6 million,
yeah,
if you're lucky. But he would be a good player for like an Ipswich or something like that. Like, possibly.
Probably more like a, not Leicester, because they're similar as well.
Yeah, but, and Southampton.
Yeah, so none of the promoted teams, but.
Yeah, like a West Ham, a Palace, you know, somebody take him because he has got experience of Premier League.
Yeah.
I think even Leicester would take him because he's got that experience, you know, and, you know, you need 4 centre-backs, I suppose, as well. You know?
Yeah.
So you could see it. But, I mean, well, I suppose Dyche would probably like to keep him, really. But we'll see. He did drop him from the team, didn't he? A few times. Yeah. So.
But then, you know, he's also not hesitated to put him back in when he's felt the need to.
Yeah.
But clearly, he wouldn't be his first choice. He would just be a backup.
Yeah.
And there's also one other potential saleable asset would be Mopay, who had a good season on loan with Brentford, but they haven't taken up the option to sign him. But I think maybe some interest from Italy, like there was last transfer window.
I could see him going. I don't know. What would you, again, what's he on, a year left, is he, again?
No, I think he's got a good couple of years left.
Couple of years left.
But anything close to 10 million, I'd happily take it. He wants to leave. He clearly doesn't like it at Everton. It hasn't worked out.
He's not a bad player.
He's not. He's shown that at Brentford.
He didn't suit what we were doing, and we didn't play him the right way. We bought him and then played him as a number nine. He's just not a number nine. He plays in a two alongside a target man, or like as a number 10 in a proper 4-4-2. You know, I don't know. But or split striker. Sorry, that's the word.
Yeah.
Rather than number 10. Number 10's more of a midfielder. But yeah, I don't think he's a bad player. He's a reasonable Premier League player, but it was a panic signing. We should have gone for that Guirassy at the time. He was on strike waiting for us, apparently. And now he's banging them in. And
really?
Yeah.
And now well out of our price range.
We should have gone for him at the time. But what it was again, it shows the sort of muddled thinking we had at the club in terms of, I get the terms of like Premier League experience and all of that, but apparently, Thelwell wanted Guirassy, Lampard wanted Mopay, and Ken Wright wanted Mopay as well, so that was it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know where Mashiri was.
Honestly,
he was saying, last time I got involved, we bought Tosin.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose it was, when you think about it, it's a gamble, but then on the other hand, it's like we ended up buying a forward who just did not fit what we were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have understood it more if the plan was to play Mopay alongside DCL, but DCL was never fit, was he? So
no, he was injured at the time. That's why we needed a striker.
Exactly.
And so we went and bought someone who's not a striker.
Exactly. It was crazy.
Ridiculous.
I mean
but if
he's
we can
technically
get rid...
not a bad, you know what I mean? He's not like Dross, is he? He's not like, he scored like 6 or 7 goals in the Premier League. He's not a bad player, you know. He's somebody will want him. It'll either be somebody in Italy, like you said, or France, or somebody even in the Premier League who like wants a little backup, you know, or a little, you know, somebody different like a Leicester or a, I don't know. Yeah. somebody will take a punt on him because he does score goals. So, but we're not getting our 15 million back.
God, no. So anything close to 10 would be, you know, a decent return. But is there anyone else that you think would go?
I know we were talking about key players before, but there's been rumours about Pickford, but I just can't.
No chance.
I don't think he's going.
He doesn't want to.
Seems very settled, but there was rumours at the beginning of the, you know, summer about, I don't know, Chelsea coming in with a 60 million or a, you know, I can't think of any other club, like big, you know, clubs of that end who need a keeper, to be honest. So
no, I think he said he doesn't want to go, and I wouldn't sell him at any price, to be honest.
I think he has, he saved us quite a lot of time. So I'd rather, out of the players we mentioned, as much as I love Branthwaite, it probably would be Pickford and DCL would be like the key ones that, you know, I'd like to keep, really.
Yeah, especially Pickford. I mean, I think he's genuinely irreplaceable.
No, I agree. I just thought I'd bring it up because it hasn't been mentioned. You know, I don't want to because I think he's probably had opportunities when he was younger to move in a way. It's the club, and he plays every week, and he's England's number one. So in a way, I can see why he doesn't want to move. The only thing he would move for, I think, is like, you know, European football, but then
he gets international football.
Yeah, and he's like, in a way, he's like the face of the club, isn't he, really? When you think about it. So, no, I don't want to sell him either, but I just thought I'd bring it up. Who else is at the fringe? Well, you're just talking youngsters, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm sure some youngsters will go, you know, for very, very low sums, or, you know, just release because they're not going to make it.
Or out on loan.
Or they're not quite good enough to.
What's the lad, the midfielder? I forgot his name now.
Warrington.
I could see him going to like a Championship club or something, being sold, honestly.
Yeah, potentially. Or, you know, even League One.
Sadly. I don't know if he's ever going to be good enough, but.
But, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, it's terrible losing the young players, but, you know, that's part of the purpose of the academy is to develop a player and then sell for, like, the lower leagues or whatever, or to get into the first team if they're good enough.
But you do feel like this PSR stuff does, like, force your hand into selling. I mean, last summer we sold Samuel Smith, Cannon, you know, Sims, all of these players. I mean, probably Sims wasn't, you know, was ever going to cut it at that level. But, you know, he might develop into, like, you know, some kind of Premier League, lower Premier League striking one day, but you never know. But it was definitely the right decision to sell him.
Yeah.
Cannon, I feel like Cannon, we were for, you know, if we, it hadn't been for the PSR stuff, we wouldn't have sold him, you know.
No, I think shame. It was the fact we could get money up front for him and we needed it. I think we didn't want to, and ideally it would have been another loan.
That's why I think the PSR stuff, another reason why it's a load of bollocks, really, because the whole point of sustaining a club is like building young players and stuff and like building a... I mean, obviously you have to sell some of them, and there is a case that, you know, and I do agree, that in the past Everton have kept on to players too long. Mm. I agree with that. And I do think there is a point where you have to sell some players who may never be good enough. I agree. But I think there are times where there are players like a Cannon who you just don't know. You know what I mean? Where if he'd have got a bit like Branthwaite, if he got a loan and then he, you know, he'd been like kicked on. I think he did have a good loan at Preston. He could be one that we do think, oh, you know, he could have been a decent player, you know, but
yeah.
It's just the way it is these days. But I just think it is a bit of a shame that it forces your hand.
That's it.
Into selling these players, you know, early sometimes. But anybody else trying to think?
No, I think realistically that's probably it, isn't it?
Oh, and then we look at just like players who've been released, basically. Gomez,
Ali.
With us for 6 years.
Yeah.
Ali.
I mean, that's like 200,000 a week off the wage bill. Plus
6 years he was with us, Gomez.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, you know, he's a lovely footballer when he's on it, but yeah, he felt like a bit of a vanity signer in a way, didn't he? With Mina and stuff. Mina was probably, you know, did more for the first team, obviously.
When he was fit, absolutely.
Yeah. I think Gomez was probably like, that injury was probably the big turning point for him. I think also the Premier League didn't really ever suit him, almost.
No.
But he's very silky. And he did some, to be fair to him, there are some players who were on their, if they were on their last year of their contract and they weren't fancied anymore, they wouldn't have put it in. But when he came in, he put it in. So you have to give him that, you know.
Yeah,
he only played like 12 games.
Yeah,
and he came in, he did a job, didn't he? So you have to give him that because, you know, some players who were on their way out and stuff. So that just shows a lot about him as a character and a personality, you know, that he still put it in, even though, you know, he knows he's leaving. He's not fancied. It hasn't worked out. Blah, blah, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, good luck to him, you know?
Yeah, he did his best, like, but he I don't think it really... I don't think he ever really suited this league, you know?
No.
I think there was a time when him and Garner were in the midfield, and they did look
good. There was that one season when he was
under Silva,
He looked superb. Never quite kicked on when we signed him permanently.
No, and I think that...
To say the injury finished him.
I think that took a yard or... an half out of him, and I think that
pace to begin with, did he?
No, not really, but he used to have a little bit of a burst, and he lost that, you know. I think that really did for him, because then when he went to France, he was all right in France. So
we need those wages off the bill, though. And
yeah, he'll go to Italy or Spain and probably have or Portugal, and you know, do
he'll do fine.
Right. Yeah, but we're right to release him. Same with Ali. I mean, that was a mad signing, anyway. A totally mad signing. I mean, it was a punt, wasn't it?
Basically. Yeah.
And really, the only thing we can remember of him, I know it's injuries and, you know, other issues, mental health issues, which are important. Yeah,
of course.
But, I mean, you do wish him well, and you do hope he can, I don't know, get something together with his career. Because basically, the last two or three years, he's just, well, if not longer, he's, stagnated, hasn't he? He's just he's gone on the steep decline. Unfortunately, it does happen to certain players who, like, he burst on the scene young, didn't he? Was he 18 when he signed for Spurs?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that. And he was a big player for them for like probably like most of 10 years. So in a way, I suppose his career was like, you know, front loaded.
Yeah.
We took a mad punt on him. I mean, the only thing we can remember him for on the pitch was Palace, wasn't it?
Palace, the second half of Palace,
I suppose we could thank him for that. But
yeah, I mean,
apart from that, we spent a lot of wages on somebody who's never played for us, really.
Yeah.
Again.
A waste of money in real terms. And
They just wanted him off their books, didn't they, Tottenham? I mean, God. Daniel Levy done us up at like a kipper there, really.
Yeah. Absolutely had us off
there. A few times he's done us up. Yeah, I wouldn't be dealing with him again.
if we can avoid it now.
Unless they're coming in with a huge offer for somebody. Yeah, and then you got Danjuma. Didn't do much, really. Disappointing. After all that.
Complete anti-climax. I mean, we should have known after he went to Tottenham and did fuck all.
Yeah.
Just shows how desperate we were for some sort of pace and creativity, but he hasn't got any creativity.
Maybe he doesn't really fit, he doesn't fit Dyche's thing either, does he? Really?
I don't know. I mean, people always know, so he's not the right type of player for Dyche. He's just shite. I mean, Dyche played him.
Possibly.
And he contributed nothing, so he stopped
playing. Yeah, he didn't deliver either. I agree with that. But I do think probably in a, like, he's what he is. He's not really a wing. He's more like a wide forward, isn't he? I don't know. He's playing like a 4-3-3, and he'd probably look all right, you know, kind of.
You know, Spurs played that, and he couldn't get into their team.
No, I agree. He didn't show enough either. You have to show more. You have to force your way in, don't you?
So, you know, people say, oh, certain types of managers don't like certain types of players. I think he's one where it's all on him. You know, he's clearly not got a good enough attitude, and he's not a good enough player, you know.
No, I think his idea of himself is higher than it.
He's more interested in posting on Instagram, isn't he?
Yeah. It's a bit of like, not to like stereotype Dutch players, but there is a bit of arrogance about some of them. I mean, Royston Drenthe, remember him?
Gotcha.
I don't know. I think he'll go somewhere and be all right. But he wasn't what we needed. I mean, apparently, Fell was saying, oh, he's the versatile forward we need, you know, who can play across the front three and all this kind of stuff. But if, like you said, if he's not going to deliver it, then... And also, he's not really rapid, is he? He's quick, he's sharp, but he's not, like, rapid pace, is he? And what we need is, like, some rapid pace, I feel like.
Someone with, like, explosive pace.
Yeah, because on the counter, that would really... I mean, we'll get onto that in a minute, but, yeah, that would really... He just wasn't that, was he? And also, when he did play in another position... He's a left winger, and he's never going to get in ahead of McNeil. Or a left forward. He's not going to get in ahead of McNeil. When he played on the right, he wasn't that great. And when he played up front, he wasn't that great. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It was disappointment, really. But on a loan, I suppose, it was on a loan. So apparently it was about the best we could get on a loan. That's what they said.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, what was available, what we could get.
What was available. And his record, you know, he did have a record you could look at. He did all right in the Champions League and all this kind of stuff. But ultimately, it didn't work out. He's gone. No more to be spoken of.
Yeah.
Who else went? Oh, Lonergan. Lonergan went.
Yeah. Club legends.
Already. Let's discuss where we need, just generally, we won't go into names or anything, where we need to scrap them.
Well, we need, you know, as we said, a couple backup keepers, some cover at in the full-back positions, preferably a versatile right-hand left-back / wing-back. And then in forward areas, we're still desperate for some pace and sort of real creativity, aren't we?
Yeah. I wasn't going to bring up names. We've been linked to a couple of players, haven't we? But this is more like a type, isn't it? We're after, I suppose. Like a right winger with pace and sort of some goal threat, you know. There's the lad, Sprilla, Watford, who we tried for last summer. Or was it January? One of the times. And then there's the lad at Newcastle who's been on loan at
Feyenoord.
Yeah, in Holland, who's done, like, he's had 10 goals, 5 assists. Looks quite handy, 19. Yeah.
He's another loan, potentially.
Could be like an impact player off the bench now and again if we need a bit of pace kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's what we need. Like, who can get to the byline, you know, really take defenders on, because we just don't have that at the moment. As good as McNeil and Harrison have been at times, type of player.
And I think Dobbin needs a loan. I like Dobbin, but I think he needs a loan if he's ever going to possibly break in or be sold again. You know, that's why you have to look at it as like a business, don't you? If he does well on the loan, then he might be, you know, in Championship or something, then someone will buy him. But yeah, the archetype is we need a right winger, because really we've been playing Harrison there. And if we do bring Harrison back, then he is an option there again. But we need somebody who's got that rapid pace, because we do play on the counter-attack. I mean, sometimes we're so slow, aren't we, sometimes?
Yeah.
We're one-paced. I wouldn't say slow. Maybe one-paced is more of the option. We need somebody who's like just going to burst. And I suppose that's maybe why we were after Nonto so heavily. Because, as you know, probably it's good we didn't get him in a way, because he's done all right in the Championship, but he's not like pulling up trees, like.
No, I'll put him in the finances, would have crippled us as well.
Spend the money. 25 million again. Yeah. But he's 20, so I suppose he's an investment, isn't he? Mm. So I suppose what you're thinking there is a bit like when we bought Richarlison, like, you know, develop him, then if he does well, then sell him. At least with a younger player, you know you're going to get something back, don't you?
It's
when you're buying your 26, 27, 28, 29, you know. You're just not going to get the funds back. But I think that if I was to say, like, what's your number one thing Everton need, is like a right winger with just like absolute pace and goal threat as well. Because we don't have enough goal threat from anywhere else apart from up front and Doucouré, you know?
Yeah.
We need...
And Dwight a little bit, yeah. We need
somebody who can carry the ball and progress it, especially away from home against these bigger teams, would really, really help us. You know, it would really help us. And we don't have, you know, we don't have somebody whose position is right wing.
Like a natural out and out wing. Yeah.
All our wingers are left. Yeah. We need a right winger. We've needed one for like how many seasons? I don't know. Two or three? Well, probably longer. I mean, Harrison does a decent job out there and he's pretty good. But he works bloody hard.
We'd rather play on the left, I think.
He would.
He's not entirely comfortable there because he cuts in onto his left so much. We just need someone who will just get down the wing to the byline.
Agree. I think that's what we're screaming out for, pace.
Yeah.
It would be even better if it was somebody you could also play up front, you know?
Yeah.
Because then you could play Harrison if Harrison does come back. And then I'm assuming there, because I don't know. But then you could play them up front, and it's an option. It's another option where then Chimiti could go out alone. You got your three strikers. You got Calvert-Lewin, Beto, and your third.
Third one, yeah.
Possibly even you could get like a free in, like a Che Adams. We have been linked with him so many times. I could see that happening. I know, I could see it happening. Or Chris Wood or someone mad like that, you know. Although Chris Wood's probably on a, he scored 14 goals, so they're not going to let him go, are they?
No,
so.
No.
Somebody of that type, you could see another third striker coming in.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about creativity? Because there's been rumours that we've offered a contract for Callum O'Hare. So, but there may be others involved in that. So I think he'd be a decent player to have, like as an option as a number 10.
Asked a couple of Coventry mates what,
yeah,
if whether they thought he'd fit for us, and they said, you know, he is a hard worker.
Yeah, that's good.
He kind of disappears in games a little bit though at times, but
all creative players, you know, are like that though. Yeah. Flitting in.
Well,
and
we
out.
Need, you know, we need something different. If we can get him for, like, you know, on not too high wages, then I think he'd be an okay addition.
Yeah, and there's probably other clubs involved because he's free.
Yeah,
but he has had a good season. He was good in the cup for Coventry as well. They got to the semi final. And he was good against Man United. I think he's a good player, you know. But he'd just be like an option from, like, and if it's not him, somebody else. Because I'm not like my heart set on Callum O'Hare.
No, you know, just like, an example.
Yeah,
isn't
he? He'd be a good squad player as well. Because if he can play like midfield and 10, then he's an option, isn't he? But if we need somebody who's different to Doucouré, because Doucouré is like a battering ram almost, or a, you know, he's like a, he's been, at times he's been like a second strike. And also I could see if Onana does go, I could see Doucouré dropping back
a bit more, yeah.
Because he, when we went on that better run, he dropped back at times, didn't he? Right in, and we were playing literally a 4-5-1. And he did quite well. Again, I think he is a good, he's one of them players. I think he likes to be involved in the game, doesn't he, Doucouré, in a way? And sometimes that split striker thing doesn't suit him, because we end up playing like a 4-4-2 and he's just like, he doesn't touch the ball half the time.
To be like a number 10, arguably he's too limited to be a number 8 as well. We need to him in like the advanced positions, definitely.
Yeah, we need someone who's different, don't we, who's going to get on the ball possibly.
Yeah.
And maybe like, you know, he's got better delivery, or got any delivery, Doucouré, and, you know, could take shots. I mean, possibly it's been muted that, you know, would you move McNeil inside at times, you know, because is McNeil like an out-and-out winger? I mean, that's just an that could be an option at times, especially at home, where if you've seen that some of those, like at times he's got into that central area and let some of those shots go, would he be an option in there at times, you know what I mean?
I think he's more of a, you know, a wide player who drifts in rather than someone who starts centrally. Obviously, it's all going to depend on what happens with the takeover, you know, come 31st, 7-7 ends, and then we might have a clearer idea.
Yeah, we don't know.
After what we can actually...
You said we'd need a full-back. Obviously, if Brantwaite goes a centre-half, Onana's going, we need a midfielder, you know?
Yeah.
We need a right-winger, as we said. That's desperate.
Someone more creative, yeah.
Yeah, and somebody possibly in the 10. So you're looking at 5 or 6 players just off the bat, and then maybe even a few squad, you know, squad players as we mentioned, like your young, you know, a couple of the young players I mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at, your third keeper and all that. Yeah, your two keepers, so that's 6 players, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like probably, again, it's going to be similar to last summer where we're going to have to see where our sales are at, and then we're going to have to see what's going on with the ownership, and then we're going to have to, you know, we'll probably try for a few free transfers, I reckon.
Yeah, we'll have to.
And loans. And then
freeze and loans.
Yeah, and then later in the summer, like end of July, going into August, looking at a few players we can actually buy, possibly, for small. Yeah. It's the same as last summer, isn't it, basically?
Pretty much, yeah, same where we are at the moment.
Yeah, because we won't spend that money until later because we don't want to pay the wages, it's that bad.
Yeah.
And also, it probably is easier to get players right at the end like that when you're offering, you know, actual money. But, I mean... Yeah, possibly if what you would like, which is what some clubs do, you see Brentford, they bought a striker and Tony hasn't left yet. You know, what you'd like in a way is if Onana's gone. But if we know Branthwaite's kind of going, we're going to try and bring in a centre half. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
Before he goes. Yeah. By that, we might not have that luxury. But I'm just, I'm not talking about somebody expensive, by the way. I'm just talking about maybe somebody in the Championship, somebody from like a French league. I suppose Dyche at the end of the day knows centre half, so he'll know.
He does.
I think it's more likely to be someone from the Championship. We've been linked to that Grease fella at Hull.
Yeah, from Hull, yeah. I think he'd be a good sign.
Could be possibly somebody like that.
Yeah.
Or there are other ones on a freeze or low, you know, low outlays.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And where would you see the loans like coming in? Possibly for the right winger and maybe a midfielder, possibly?
It all just depends who's available, doesn't it? And what we can spend where and where we need to prioritise the money we can actually spend versus, you know, just using wages that have been freed up.
Freed up, yeah.
All depends, you know, who we can get, what deals we can get over the line. But so, yeah, we should probably wrap up. We should revisit in, like, say, you know, 10 days or so when we know the 7-7-7 calamity is over and if there's any sort of stronger rumours, both in terms of takeover or who we might be looking at in terms of squad additions, and then we can sort of delve into that a little bit deeper.
Yeah, good idea. And yeah, things might be a bit clearer by then.
Yeah, hopefully we'll know where we actually stand to some degree.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so we've had this in a week or two. And
yeah.
Until then, up the fucking toffees.
Up the toffees.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Soon.
Tell your friends. Like us on Spotify. Rate us on Spotify. All that helps, apparently.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Fue Dominique. Calvert Lewin. Y es el gol del Everton. Fue Dominique. Calvert Lewin. Y es el gol del Everton. Fue Dominique. Y Calvert-Lewin. Y es el gol del Everton.